How long have we been doing KCIM Sports Rewind? You got any remember? Remember Blankman?
We've got to be pushing about 18 to 20 years.
18 to 20 years.
Yes.
And I'm coming down to my end run here, but I'm finally figuring out how to time out to 9:30. I nailed it today.
Did you?
Nailed it.
Like second time in all these years?
Yeah. Twice in almost 20 years. That's once a decade, if my math is correct.
You're showing Casey how to do it. That's what it is,
there you
right?
Go.
You're on the ball today.
This is how
right?
it's done, son. This is how you do it. KCIM Sports Rewind. I'm John Ryan.
I'm Jeff Blankman.
And I'm Mason Neon.
And we are going to just blather on about sports here for the next half hour. All right, I'm going to throw this out there. We're going to talk about Kemper, first of all. Kemper is, in terms of the Canadian Football League, they are the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Okay.
Because they just won the Grey Cup.
Okay.
For the first time since 2013.
Really?
So Kemper trying to win their second championship.
Yeah.
First time since?
2013.
So yeah. Kemper equals the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
I did not know. See, you always teach us a little history while we're in here. I appreciate that.
And now I'm through coddling you guys with easy trivia questions. Lord knows that
if that would have been the trivia question, I would have no idea how to answer.
Mason knocks it out of the park. You sit there and just kind of like, well, I'm going to let Mason answer.
Yeah, I'm the old guy.
All right. Who in the Canadian Football League has won the most Grey Cups? That's my question of the day.
I can't name a Canadian Football League team.
See, I'm through coddling
Edmonton?
You guys. No. Do you know what the Edmonton mascot is?
I do not.
The Edmonton Elks.
Elks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Winnipeg. Trying to think who's all got. I haven't watched Canadian.
Winnipeg, but Blue Bombers.
Blue Bombers.
They've won 12. Edmonton has won 14, but they are not the most.
Okay. Calgary?
Not the Calgary Stampeders. No. That deserves a buzz.
Okay. Do they not one?
Keep going.
I cannot think of any. Winnipeg. No, I already said them.
Name a big town in Canada.
Toronto.
The Argonauts. There you go. See, Mason, once again, dragging you through this,
this
painful exercise that we do every Tuesday morning.
Yes.
Toronto Argonauts have won 19 Grey Cups.
Okay.
So there you go. I've contributed my knowledge to the show.
And by the way, speaking of the Canadian Football League, we do have a local athlete that is playing up there in Cody Case. Suffered an injury this year and missed the season. But
unfortunately, that's kind of been Cody's MO.
He has been
one of the best football players out there. But
yeah,
just the most injury-bitten athlete I think I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. And you feel for him because he is not just a special athlete, but he's just a great human being, too, and just a great kid. And I still call him a kid. He's probably 28, 29 years old now.
He played for the Coyotes for USD for like 3 years. And when they played at Oklahoma, they raved about him.
Yes.
Even the Oklahoma coaches did.
Yep.
Went to Illinois. Again, injuries took a chunk out of his season.
Yep.
Tried out for the Colts.
Yep.
They were impressed by him. But again, tough to make an NFL team.
Right.
You don't have that kind of experience. So, yeah, went up and played in the Canadian Football League for a while. But, you know, just a super athlete, great shape, man. I'm telling you, if you have that many muscles, it's easy to sprain something, right?
Right.
If you don't have muscles like us, we never get injured. Never.
That's why we're here every Tuesday, right?
Yeah. When's the last time you pulled a hamstring or anything?
I don't even know if I have a hamstring anymore.
All right, let's talk Kemper here. They are state championship bound, going to be taking on Van Meter. Boy, they came out. First time they played Wilton. Had no idea. You know, they hadn't played them before, but came out just dominant.
Yeah, what a performance for them this past Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, I guess it was. That offense, we knew that it's got a ton of weapons. Haven't really seen a team contain Jaron Hoffman in the run game like Wilton did. But all that meant was is that Brock Bating would go out and set a new dome record in Class 2A for, you know, passing yards and touchdowns in a game with, 405 passing yards and six touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Braxton Vanami had a huge game. Griffin Glenn had a huge game. Brayton Alford played really well. I know I'm forgetting one of the receivers.
Brayton Braxton.
And that was it for that game. But, yeah, it was fun watching that offense just go. And every time it looked like Wilton was going to try and claw their way back in, you know, Kemper would make another play on the offensive side of the ball. And the defense got enough stops to be able to allow them to kind of blow that game completely open.
There was one pass in particular I saw the highlight from, rolling out to his left, baiting off balance, never got his feet set underneath him, just put it on a dime to Glenn for a touchdown.
That was
insane.
And Griffin got in behind the defense that time and just runs a great route and uses his speed. And, yeah, I did have to kind of chuckle. You know, of course, when you're down there at the state, there's a lot of media that jumps into the media room to do interviews, especially after the semifinals. And it'll be worse for the championship game, or better, however you want to look at it. But the first question that Brock got asked was, where are you going to play college football? And his kind of response was, well, I'm still thinking basketball. Right now I'm in the football mindset, but, you know, basketball's around the corner, and I'm starting to hear from some football coaches and stuff like that. But I could tell that the person that asked it probably didn't know that Brock's an all-state basketball player as well, and stuff. So, but he's going to have some choices if he wants to go play football now. He's a good enough quarterback that I think he'll have that opportunity. But just in knowing him, that doesn't mean it can't change that I think basketball is his love. But, you know, he is going to get enough attention to maybe play some football at the next level.
Well, so, you know, when I talked to Nick Nurse, did a podcast with him a while ago, he said that, you know, he had no scholarship offers going into the summer.
Right.
In fact, as he was going to be a freshman, he enrolled at UNI, had a great camp there at a benefit game, and wound up getting an offer. He was going to go try to walk on as a football player.
Right.
Until he got that offer to play basketball.
And look
I mean,
what that led
literally
to.
Changed his life. He's now an NBA champion coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, look what that led to for him. And, but this is a special offense. That Kemper's got, their defense is really good as well, but it's sometimes overshadowed by just how elite that offense has been.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game. I didn't have the pleasure of watching it in person, but, I mean, going through the screen, I didn't do it as much justice, I feel like, because it's just, you know, they get a stop, and they go down and score again, and then for a minute there, I got to give credit to Wilton. It was 21-14 in the third quarter at one point, I believe.
Yeah, and 35-21, they had kind of crawled back in.
Yeah, they were right there for a little bit, and then I think, you know, Kemper just went out there and on the offensive end just started to dominate a little bit, and now they get Van Meter in the championship game, which Van Meter, very good historical program there, able to win a couple state championships over the years, but we'll see now. Should be a pretty good matchup, in my opinion.
Yeah, the question I'll have is you know, and Van Meter's really good. Their defense is outstanding from what I saw, at least in their semifinal round game against Osage. Their secondary covers extremely well. There was never an Osage runner running open, you know, in the secondary, so that'll be the interesting matchup. But I just don't know, based off of, you know, what I've seen, if they can score with Kemper. So they're going to have to make stops on the defensive side to have a chance. And not saying that they don't. They've won four state championships in probably the last 8 years. So this is a program that knows how to win at this level, and they're gonna go out and give Kemper probably everything they can possibly handle on Friday.
Well, they get all those overflow athletes from the Des Moines area that, you know, sometimes they don't get the playing time in Des Moines, so they're going to relocate and open and roll to Van Meter.
Yep.
And they're just a program that's going to become even better and better and better as they build their facilities and everything like that down there. I will say, Brock got away with one, rolled out to his left, threw a touchdown pass as he threw it back towards the middle of the field.
Yes.
That's a throw that I'm sure every coach went, no! And then, okay, fine, you got away with it there.
Yeah, yeah. That's a throw that if he quarterbacks at the next level instead of playing basketball, he may not get away with. But yeah,
he pulled it off.
He did. And he's done that all season long. I think when you have as many weapons, you know, you throw Ryan Lucas and even Jared Hoffman into the passing game for weapons, and then you got Jaron in the run game, and, you know, Taylen Alford if you need him, and Brayton Alford if you need him in the run game, and Brock's even showed the ability to run some. But, you know, when you have that many weapons, it's just hard for defenses to cover, you know, all of them. And I think Brock does a really nice job of reading the defense. And if the first guy's not open, he goes through, you know, his progressions and finds number two or three. And even when he throws back across the middle, maybe number four, you know, and stuff. But the one thing I will say is I would anticipate Matt Van Meter maybe being in that spot. So if you're going to throw back across the middle against Van Meter, you may not have the same success.
If they covered that well, So you did the 2013 championship game.
I did.
The doink at the end to win the championship.
Yeah.
Was it Cole Neary, the quarterback?
Cole Neary was the quarterback, and Brock passed him in that semifinal round game with career yards, I think, and career touchdowns or completions in touchdowns, I think, is maybe what it was. But yeah, Cole was special.
What a
great quarterback. Yes, absolutely.
Any comparisons between the two teams, 2013 and this year? I mean, it's probably a different game that they play.
It is a little bit of a different game. I think this team might have more offensive weapons. The other team was outstanding offensively. You had Alex Drees, who I think could have played D1 football, and great running backs. They were loaded, but I just think this team, maybe especially on the outside, has more weapons. And then defensively, I would probably have to give an edge to the 2013 defense. Not that this defense isn't really good, but yeah, you had Taylor Niehaus at linebacker, and then Sam Brinks, who went over and had a really good career at Iowa. And stuff on that defense. I think that defense might have been a little bit tighter than what this defense is and tougher. They're comparable. They certainly are comparable. This is by far the best team Kemper's had since that 2013 state championship team.
All right, I'm going to make Blankman feel old. Mason, what do you remember about the 2013 team?
Were you born yet?
How old were you in 2013?
Seven.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have been 7 years old.
Okay.
Blankman calling championship games. You were 7 years old. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was starting kindergarten or preschool at that point.
And now you're on KCIM Sports Rewind.
I covered his parents in high school. That already made me feel old.
All right. So that Kemper, 10 o'clock kickoff time on Friday, 9:20, I assume, is the pregame there on Kick 106.7. So good luck, Kemper. Again, coming up against Van Meter in that championship game. We'll be chatting a lot more about that next week. Let's talk about the Audubon Wheelers. Tough loss against Bishop Garrigan. It really was the story of the last 3 or 4 minutes of the first half and the first couple minutes of the second half.
Yeah, the 6 turnovers total and 3 of them coming in and that little bit of a span. You've got a 14-14 game and Audubon's driving and moving the ball and looks like, hey, maybe they'll score here with very little time left. They'll go up a score, then they get the ball to start the second half. Maybe they can make this a 2-possession game in their favor, and they end up throwing an interception that gets returned deep down into their own territory, and Garrigan scores, and then Audubon gets it back and turns it over right before the end of the half, and Garrigan scores. So all of a sudden, it's now Garrigan up by 2 scores at halftime, and then Audubon turns it over on their first possession of the third quarter, which was the opening possession of the third quarter, and Garrigan stretches it to a 3-touchdown advantage at that point. And from there on, Audubon was trying to play catch up. They didn't quit until the very end, and they played all the way until the final seconds and played hard, kept trying to get back into the game. But you're outscored 38-0 on turnovers, and you only lose by 24. The yardages were pretty even offensively and everything else. It just came down to the 6 turnovers and technically 5. There was an interception right at the end of the half on a Hail Mary that does count as a turnover, but that one doesn't affect really the outcome or the game or anything, but 5 turnovers and stuff. But yeah, I just look at it. I talked to Sean Burks this morning, and if anybody wants to go back, I've got the interview podcast on our podcast center, but we recapped the entire season. He's really proud of his group of guys and what they accomplished.
Mason, your thoughts on that one? You've seen Audubon enough throughout the year, and it was just not an Audubon Wheeler type game.
Yeah, no, and I was sitting there when they're down 24, and I'm like, well, this is Audubon. Who says that they can't come back? But then I had to kind of realize again as well, it's the number one team. This isn't on Audubon's home turf, and it makes it a little harder. I think that Audubon's fans showed out really great. I think they had a great student section, a great fan section in there as well. And you, like Jeff said, I mean, they played hard all the way through at the end. You got some seniors that didn't see a little bit of time on the field that got in at the end as well. So I think it was kind of, for them, also a sentimental game of, we went out there, we played at the Dome as a team for the last time. We got some of our other guys in there as well. So, yeah, great season for them as well.
And for a team that wasn't picked to win their district, wasn't in the rankings to start the season. I think they were 17th or something like that in some of the early projections, to get to the Dome and be a top 4 team. Tells you the buy-in that group of kids had all off season and the work that they and the coaching staff put in to have a very, very special season this year.
Every coach's dream is to go into a season underrated.
Yes.
So what do they got coming back? Is Audubon going anywhere as a program?
They're losing a great senior group. I mean, there's some guys that are going to be really, really difficult. Austin Christensen, probably one of those that you may never get another guy like him in your program. But you look at all the playing time that the reserves got this year. They were in for the second half and sometimes in the first half in every game this year besides the Iowa Valley and the game at the Dome. They got a lot of experience, and they've got a lot of really good athletes coming back. So the future is going to be really good for this Audubon program.
Yeah, I mean, like Jeff said, there's games where they play the second quarter on and the third quarter on there, so you got guys that have played there. I know their quarterback situation, again, you got Aiden Kiergaard, who was a sophomore that stepped in this year. He's probably got another 2 years under his belt at Audubon, so I think they're going to have a decent bit of production back. I know they're obviously going to lose some guys, but with a coaching staff like Audubon's got, I think they should be able to find somebody to slide in there as well.
They're going to lose some of their size, but they're going to have a lot of skill position guys coming back. So
yeah, and you got a great coach in John Burks that's going to lead that program. So they're, I really don't think they're going anywhere. They're going to be the bully on the block here in their district for a while.
Yep, agreed.
All right. So that kind of wraps up the football season as well. Anything else that before we move on to your all-star?
Yeah, girls swimming wrapped up the season this past Friday as well over at the state meet. I want to congratulate the girls. We'll just run through kind of how they did real quick. Just three relays over there. The 200 medley relay team of Harper Ladwick, Alexis Borkowski, Briley Behrens, and Sophia Malone would finish up in 30th. The 200 freestyle relay team, Briley Behrens, Ava Highnote, Sophia Malone, and Grace Schoonover would finish up in 25th. And the Ava Highnote, Briley Behrens, Sophia Malone, and Grace Schoonover in the 400 freestyle relay would finish up in 30th place. So if you notice, six girls total getting over there in the three relays, and all of them either freshmen or sophomores. So the future of the girls swim program in really good hands with that group of girls and with Deb Danner, of course, at the coach.
Yeah, she's terrific as that. We've got more KCIM Sports Rewind. We're going to announce our all rewind team for the fall sports season. That's coming up next here on KCIM Sports Rewind, brought to you by St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
It's KCIM Sports Rewind, 9:30 every Tuesday morning, or 9:30-ish, as we like to say in the radio business. It starts when it starts, folks.
Yes.
It's like rock and roll. It's like a concert. It goes when it goes. Rewind All-Star Festivities, how was it this past weekend?
I thought it was great. I think the kids had a really good time, and that's what it's all about. I think the coaches had a good time as well. I know Mason got a coach against Craig Rowetter and Cindy Wilkie in the dodgeball tournament, and Mason, go ahead.
You talk about coaching. I think I'm the greatest dodgeball coach of all time.
2-0
swept them.
Nicely done.
And he did some smack talking to Coach Rowetter in the process. Yeah.
I told him that's why you don't run the ball. You got to start passing the ball, because all of his guys couldn't throw worth a darn.
Wow, you went right for it, man.
That's
brutal.
No, it was, and everything was wrapped up in under 2 hours. So at a volleyball all-star game, dodgeball tournament, passing competition, and the award ceremony, and everything was done in less than 2 hours. So I think everybody had a good time.
All right, let's get through. We're going to run through the teams here that you guys have put together for the Rewind festivities. And you didn't really mention until the event what team that each athlete was on. So kind of a different way to approach that this time.
Yep.
So here are the honorable mention volleyball players that were at the Rewind festivities. Cadence Brannon Sporer of Audubon was named honorable mention. Aubrey Hoffbauer of Coon Rapids Baird. Cassidy Wenk of Glidden-Ralston was honorable mention. Emerson Ludwig of East Sac, Amelia Garrett of Glidden-Ralston, Sadie Wheelock of South Central Calhoun, and Josie Riddle of Carroll.
We'll move over now to 13, Mason, I think.
Yep, we got a couple of Kemper girls here with Addie Antover from Kemper, Zoe Bruning of Kemper, and Brianna Wittrock of Kemper as well, a Coon Rapids Baird girl in their setter, and Amelia Cook, a pair of Carroll girls, and Amanda Wardell and Analia Ayala, and then a pair of East Sac girls, and Sarah Bontrager and Caitlin Schmidt.
We'll move now to second team, a pair of girls from Exirocrin Kimbledon and Jalen Peterson and Taryn Peterson. You got Mia Milligan and Mariah Hewton of Kemper, Addison Bando, and also Anna Stangle from IKM Manning, Anna Larson from Audubon, and Jordan Carroll from East Sac County.
All right, first team, all volleyball rewind team from the Kemper Knights. Three members, Elsa Tiefenthaler, Kaylee Simons, and Colby Peter, all making first team. From IKM Manning, it's Keegan Eischeid. Malia Clayberg from Coon Rapids Baird is joined by Anna Hart, also of the Crusaders. Harlow Miller of Audubon makes first team. And from the IKM Manning Wolves, also Kylie Arp on the first team volleyball team.
Yeah, and then we got some girls here. I don't know where you want to start, Jeff, with
everything. Well, do you want to do player of the year?
Sure, that's a big responsibility for me. Our other finalists that we had for player of the year, we had four girls in total. We had Malia Clayberg from Coon Rapids Baird, Kaylee Simons of Kemper, and Harlow Miller of Audubon. That are player of the year ultimately ended up being Elsa Tiefenthaler of the Kemper Knights.
And it was a big discussion between those four kids. All four of them had great years. Kind of the same thing with our coach of the year. We had three finalists. Natalie Lewis of Coon Rapids Baird led them to a conference championship and a regional final. Rusty Wintermode, of course, of Kemper, taking the Knights down to the state tournament and getting them to the semifinals. But we went with Michaela Cron of IKM Manning. They were picked to finish middle of the pack at the best in the WIC this year, finished up in second place, knocked off several ranked teams, including teams ranked above them in their own conference. So just a great run and got to a regional final this year, eventually losing to a finalist in Class 1A in that regional final and had a chance to win that one. So,
hey, where's Mason on that list of coaches? Come on.
He'll be in it next year. We'll have to put together a dodgeball list, and he might be the only one on it.
He's got my vote, definitely.
Coach Wilkie might make it on there, but Coach Rowe, we're questioned.
All right, let's do, well, we're going to do the football one here. Yep. This is going to be a long one, so get comfortable with this. Football, honorable mention. From the Audubon Wheelers, it's Clayton Van Arnen.
Arnhem. Yep.
Brody Weber from the Audubon Wheelers. From the Carroll Tigers, Michael Rowetter. From Coon Rapids Baird, Gavin Heiderscheidt.
Yep.
Carson Schmidt from East Sac County. He's joined by his fellow Raiders, Cal McCullough and Cade Snyder. From the Glidden-Ralston Wildcats, honorable mention goes out to Alex Daniel and Trainer Coase. From the IKM Manning Wolves, it's Davis Rasmussen, Brock Kusel, and Cale Renzi. From the Kemper Knights, honorable mention for McGuire Hoyt and Braxton Vanami. Also honorable mention for Evan Myers of South Central Calhoun and Cooper Natras.
So then we'll go to our second team defense here. I'll start on the defensive line with an Arweva kid and Weston Toth. You got Griffin Moore of Coon Rapids Baird, a Carroll kid and Ty Mulbauer, and two Kemper defensive linemen and Sean Healy and Jack Bating. Then you go to two linebackers. You got Dawson Allen of East Sac County and Charlie Natras of South Central Calhoun. Four defensive backs, all from different teams here. You start with Dylan Schoen of Kemper, Max Sherburn of Coon Rapids Baird, Ben Ramsey of IKM Manning, and out of Glidden-Ralston, Landon Warbeck. And our punter of the year, or excuse me, our second team punter, going to be Garrett Krause. Moving over now to the second team offense. I'll start from the bottom here with our return specialist being Griffin A. Glenn of Kemper, and our kicker being Charles Mayhall of Kemper. Then you move to the offensive line with Preston Vanami of Kemper, Tyson Van Glan of Arweva, Jay Starman of IKM Manning, Jackson Reich of Coon Rapids Baird, and Jace Peterson of South Central Calhoun. Got two receivers here with Brayton Alford of Kemper and Wyatt Danner of IKM Manning. Three running backs, two of them from Coon Rapids Baird with Ethan Bauer and Caden Oswald and Mason Casper of Audubon. And then for our second team offense, again, Jeff had kind of mentioned it at the event. We had two guys in the finalists for our player of the year, and they were both quarterbacks, so we had to put one of them on second team and one of them on first team. So our second team quarterback is Aiden Kiergaard.
We'll move over to first team defense. We'll start with, of course, our punter, Mason Stitz of Carroll. In the secondary, Aiden Kiergaard of Audubon and Mason Kasperbauer of Audubon. Matt Collison of the Carroll Tigers. Five linebackers, Quentin Polking of Carroll, Austin Christensen of Audubon, Brayton Alford of Kemper, Gabe King of ESAC, and Devin Ehlers of Arweva. And our defensive linemen, Hayden Larson and Isaac Sorensen from Audubon and Lucas Deal from Kemper. Our defensive player of the year, the finalists for that were Hayden Larson, Austin Christensen, and Gabe King. Those guys all received votes and in discussion about it, but we went with Brayton Alford of the Kemper Knights as our defensive player of the year.
All right, you can do the offense.
I will do offense as well. We'll start with the return specialist, Jurgen Nowatzki of Audubon. Our kicker was Kieran Polking of the Carroll Tigers. Two receivers in Griffin Glenn from Kemper and Ashton Arnholtz from IKM Manning. We had, of course, five linemen, Gavin Holton, Caden Luders of Carroll, Sullivan McLean of Audubon, and then Lucas Deal and Reed Steger, both of Kemper. Our running backs were Wyatt Regaler of Arweva, Jaron Hoffman of Kemper, and Adam Malik of Carroll, and our quarterback was Brock Bading of Audubon. Now, again, Brock was also named our offensive player of the year. The two finalists, again, came down to him and Aiden Kiergaard. Also receiving discussion was Wyatt Regaler of Arweva, Adam Malik of Carroll, and Gavin Holton of Carroll. And just want to explain one thing kind of here real quick before we do the coach of the year, and that is that with our offensive and defense, I just offensively, I've always told the guys, you have to have five linemen and a quarterback. Beyond that, I don't care if you have three running backs or one running back and five receivers or two receivers. We just need 11 guys starting, but five of them have to be linemen and one of them has to be a quarterback. So same thing with defense. You can have as many defensive linemen or linebackers or secondaries as long as that total adds up to 11 guys, because some defenses play a 4-4. Some play a 3-3-5, you know, so we don't have a consistent thing as far as offense or defense for the amount of players at a position besides quarterback and really an offensive lineman.
All right, so do we have coaches of the year?
We do have coach of the year, and Mason, if you want to run through that.
So we had four people in total, three of them being our other finalists as well. You had Craig Roeder of Carroll. They ended up winning a district title and lost to Nevada, who's now playing for a state championship. Yep. You had Corey McCarville. They also were close to a district title, had a really loaded district this year and finished third, I believe, in their district, but still a really great year out of them. And then obviously Ryan Steinkamp of Kemper, who is competing for a state title coming up on a Friday. But we went with Sean Burks of Audubon as our coach of the year. We talked a little bit about Audubon earlier with the 11-1 and going to the Dome as well.
Yeah, and the fact that they weren't preseason ranked, not taking a thing away from Sean, Ryan, I know we've had a few people question us already. If Kemper wins the state title, how do you not have, you know, Ryan Steinkamp? And in fact, Sean Burks said that to me when I interviewed him here earlier this morning, but I'm like, we voted before the semis on this because we were doing the event right after that. And kind of what we looked at was is that Kemper was preseason number one. They've done it kind of what everybody thought they were. Audubon kind of overachieved as far as what the experts supposedly thought they were going to be this year, coming in preseason ranked about 17th and not picked to win their own district. So we thought what Audubon accomplished during the regular season was just slightly better, but it was not an easy choice coming down to between Ryan and Sean this season.
Well, congratulations to all of them.
Yes,
they all had
absolutely
great seasons.
Yes.
Let's get to some of the cross country. I'll do the boys here. ESAC, of course, dominating the lineup for cross country. Landon Spohr, Riley Aragon, Owen Engel, and Xander Hemer, all of the ESAC County Raiders. Also joining that team from Kemper is Dayton Wiederin, and from IKM Manning, Camden Morris. But the boys' cross-country runner of the year is Landon Spohr of ESAC County.
Then we move over to girls' cross-country here. Had a pair of South Central Calhoun girls on the first team there, Virus Melody and Jossa Hopper. Two IKM Manning girls as well, of Addison Bando and Alexis Olson. And then two Kemper girls as well, with Anna Seidel and Grace Schoonover. And our girls' runner of the year ended up being Iris Melody, who competed down at the state cross-country event.
We'll move now, of course, to Coach of the Year, if you want to go ahead and handle that as well, and then I'll take the other sports.
We had a couple of candidates in there. I don't exactly remember who was all talked about, but I think we had plenty
Robert
of Cass candidates.
Was one of them.
Yeah, and then we gave it to Cindy Wilkie. She sent her entire team down to state there. Didn't have a girls' team, but with the dominance that her boys' team had, we ended up giving her Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I think they won six of the meets that they were at this year, so a really good season for the ESAC boys. We named a Swimmer of the Year with just one swim team. It's hard to name an entire area team, so we just named a Swimmer of the Year. It's Grace Schoonover from Carroll, and then also with just two tennis teams, it's hard to announce an entire team for tennis, so we went just with the Tennis Player of the Year, and that was, of course, Charlotte Schwabe of the Kemper Knights.
I'm noticing one name twice on there. Grace Schoonover made girls cross country and girls swimmer of the year.
That's
a busy girl right there.
Yeah, it is. Just a freshman. I think she's going to have a tremendous, tremendous future for them. Do want to mention as well, Addie Bando was named to the all volleyball team as well as the all cross country team. So we had two athletes on the girls' side of things that were dual sport athletes and were good enough in both to be named to the team in both. So congrats
to
both of them.
Bo Jackson Award winners.
Yeah, we should actually come up with a Bo Jackson Award and give that to a multi-sport athlete that plays two sports in a season. So.
There you go. Maybe that's in the springtime when you get that all figured out. So that's going to wrap up this so far. mark what we've gotten done with the winter, with the fall sports season. Now the winter sports season begins. Yep. You guys are busy putting together the preview shows. We've got the first one coming up on Friday.
Yep.
We'll get the schedule out a little bit later on. But what are you guys learning so far about the basketball season upcoming and the winter sports season?
Going to have some good, fun teams, I think, this year. No surprise. And this is something we've talked about. We've got some girls programs that are still really struggling for numbers. And stuff. So hopefully, you know, and it's not just in our area. There's even some other conference teams in of our schools that are really struggling for numbers this year as well. So I think girls-wise, we're going to have some really good teams, and boys as well. We should have some really good teams.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing I've taken away when you look at different polls and different projections. And then you listen to the coaches talk, is there some similarity of some teams may be really good, some teams may be sneaky good as well in there, and you can have some teams thrown in there, but I think it should be a really fun basketball season.
Yeah, looking forward to it getting underway. First game is next Monday with the ICAM Manning girls hosting ACGC, who's going to be ranked coming in. ICAM Manning girls looking to have a special year this year as well. And then three games coming up on Tuesday night of next week as well, and that'll be all that we have before the holiday break.
Again, wrestling, you guys are going to have that coverage online.
Yep, we'll do wrestling coverage online. Of course, we'll type up recap stories throughout the entire season. We'll have boys swimming, bowling for both the girls and boys again this winter. So it'll be, I'll just say it, the winter sports season's got about as many sports now as what the spring sports season has always had. So the winter sports season is incredibly, incredibly busy.
Because we all thought that Jeff had too much spare time on his
hands.
And now, Mason, you don't have any spare time on your hands.
Nope.
All going to be.
It's good that he's young.
Yeah, spent covering sports of one various type or another.
Yep.
So that is KCIM Sports Rewind. Next week we'll be talking about that state championship game, Kemper Van Meter. It's Friday on Kick 106.7. Remember, the pregame starts at 9:20, kickoff at 10 a.m. That's Rewind for this week.